Good afternoon, Eastbourne. It's Chris Dabbs here, and we're in the Eastbourne Enterprise Centre as usual. And we've got one of our guests that has come back for more. People have been asking to hear more from Laurie about, basically your psyche poetry, Laurie. Welcome back.
Oh, well, yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me back. Yeah.
But you sound surprised, like anyone would want to listen to you.
No, it's getting, I mean, I'm a bit like a habit that you can't do away with, I suppose. I'm a bit like eating, you know, sort of the edible psyche poet. And, I do a takeaway service. I think I mentioned before, sort of like you can get a Indian takeaway, Chinese takeaway now. But because I deliver my books locally, I'm a takeaway poet. So, I mean, that's, I suppose, in with food. So, yeah, no, I'm really pleased. Thanks for having me back on. As I said, anything that promotes my good self, and of course I always mention alongside me Help for Heroes, who I fundraise and promote, and specifically because of what's going on and all the rest of it, it's important that we keep that up. Also noticeably that they're sending another 600 more troops back to Afghanistan again already, so kind of it all goes round in a circle. So there you go. But, they suffered to help us, so we need to help their suffering.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And I guess to help people who haven't heard your previous program on Eastbourne.online, you're a poet and you're published. You've got a whole bunch of things. And you've got, hopefully you're going to read some poetry out for us in a minute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I still keep pinching myself that I'm still a newbie. I'm actually only 4 years old in this. I wish I was 4 years old in life. I have five published books of my poetry, the last one came out in August last year. And so I had the five published in about 3.5 years, really.
Amazing.
Was no specific plan. Chris, I mean, the first one, I wanted the first one. I joined a writer's group when I first moved to Eastbourne after a while, and I was looking for just a small group of people to share the poems with. I found it now. I just found this formal writing group, which was Andarita Writers, who have been brilliant with me. They got me to read out three of my poems. That was in January 14. April 14, my first book came out, followed 7 months later by the second, and then the third a year later, the fourth a year after that, and then the fifth came only 7 months after the fourth. I was on a bit of a mission with that one.
It must have been, yeah.
Yeah. No, the fifth one had to come. You know?
Well, I suppose that's what it's like, though, isn't it? Being creative like that, it's there and it's waiting to burst forth, isn't it? It's not like you have to try. I guess I suppose you do have to try, if you know what I mean. But it's natural, isn't it?
Yeah. I've had this discussion with a lot of people, other poets and writers and things, and they talk about something that's an enigma to me. They talk about writer's block. poems spew out of me. I mean, I said before, in just over 4 years, I've written about 400 odd poems. And somebody worked out for me, it's something like one every 3 days or something, but they don't come like that. The other day, it was just weird. I woke up and two were kind of in my head of a similar theme, but not totally. They weren't the same. I mean, obviously, some of my themes over the 400 do overlap, and I've written more than one on one about one of my pet hates is like shopping and shoppers with supermarket trolleys and things. So there's two or three on that kind of theme, but they're very much different. They just come. I mean, if I get up in the night to go to the loo, wake up and there'll be a poem or just things. I'm just walking around in life. We won't go into the details, but one we were discussing before, and I just popped into the gents to go to the loo, and nothing untoward or unbehold and all the rest of it, but just a chap who I thought was probably going to have some sort of heart attack, and in there, and I'm thinking, God, you know, I haven't got to give someone a kiss alive in the toilet.
No, quite.
But I mean, and just general things that come. I was talking to Sonia before I came in. Much maligned things, sat navs, but in actual fact, largely they're brilliant. So there's a poem on the tip of my tongue, and I've written the first line or two at home already. It only came to me this morning in praise of sat navs.
Right.
But so. I will touch on the bit like where you arrive at a river and a drop of about 100 foot, and you've reached your destination. No, I haven't. You know, but I mean, largely they get us out of trouble.
Oh yeah, so. Definitely. Life would certainly be different.
Everything in life and on a sad note, I put on my Facebook page and a short poem that's on the actual back of my second book, the one I gave you when I came in. It's just life, which I write on, romance, humour, reflection and tragedy. And I have an interest in that. It just seems, specifically this recent spell, that I've just heard of so many people who've either passed away prematurely or have got serious illnesses, and it just seems to be a splurge. And I've always dinged into me from my upbringing, which we did mention before. I had fantastic parents. We were poor as chips, but always laughing and happy, and to count my blessings. And I've always been at times annoyingly. Lively, I'm told, and that. But this is where
you get your down-to-earth writing style, then, isn't it?
Just about life,
yeah. and being able to write about all sorts of things. GPS, it sounds amazing, but yeah, I don't really want to hear the one about the guy in the.
No. Well, that'll come. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'll put that on a back burner. You know,
but no, exactly. So struggling away there. But that's the point, though, isn't it? And it's interesting, you know, helping perhaps other writers who are listening who do find that writer's block's really an issue. You know, someone like you could do a masterclass, Laurie, in how to sort of, you know.
Well, I do, but I mean, I'm actually, you know, I'm reasonably sort of, certainly counting my blessings and humble in a sense, is that I think, but obviously because I can do it or seem to be able to, I'm not blowing my trumpet, produce them. But I'm sure I will do before I pop my clogs, write a long book. But I mean, apparently the average novel, it's got about 80,000-90,000 words in it, you know, and obviously you can't repeat yourself and you can't describe someone as being short, bald and fat, and then a bit later in the book he's tall, but that's just a silly example. But I mean, I write a poem and it's kind of done, and obviously I have to check, and I mean, I suppose now with all the ones I've written, I've got a little bit. It's a bit like a well-oiled machine, but you still have to be aware of the traps that you can be talking about past or present tenses. You can be talking, writing the poem in the first person, then slip into the third person, and all those sort of things. And there's many a slip between the cap and the poem writ.
Very good. Yes. So okay. So let's go. Let's talk a little bit about what's happened since we last met in terms of being able to raise money and have more donations for Help the Heroes.
Mm.
Because you've brought a couple of guests with you.
Oh yes.
Who I think probably help you quite a lot with that. So come on, tell everyone who your guests are.
This is on the weekend that we've just had with the wedding. Apparently there was a wedding on Saturday or something.
Yeah, I've heard about this. Yeah.
But we have here teddy bear royalty.
Uh-huh.
Ted and Beth, they are the two. And it's a shame that people can't see them. But, I mean, anyone who knows me, that there's plenty of literature and that on my Facebook page and all the rest of it. And they have their own Facebook page, Ted and Beth of Laurie the Poet. And being totally honest now, this was a total, very, very fortuitous fluke. Ted and Beth live with me. We live with us. My wife was a teacher, and she worked in a downtown school. And she played the piano and still does.
Okay.
And she used to play like all the to the kids, Teddy Bear's Picnic and Christopher Robin and all the rest of it and stuff. And a lot of the kids had never heard them. No, their parents had never told them. Some of them didn't even know where their parents were. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they bought her, and he's actually got a passport, and he as a travelling bear, travelling Ted. And he's actually been down the Amazon with us. And then he, it's a long story, so I won't go into it, but he now has this gorgeous girlfriend, the Dusky, who I love to visit, Beth. And she's his girlfriend, and they've both got their Help for Heroes wristbands on. And yes, they come with me to the gigs, and I'll talk about that in a second, because the last one, the little devils nearly stole the show with this group at the Lansdowne Hotel. But yeah, seriously, it was a very fortuitous fluke, because I just thought of them, and I wrote a poem about them, which is in my first book, and was soon published in the Daily Mail. It's called Travelling Bears.
Yeah.
And I've now written over 20 about their mischievous and naughty activities and all the rest of it. Just, I mean, Ted doesn't like this one too much. But
Ted, honestly.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, it was written on me. Let's own up, Wilkie. Ted and Beth are happy bears, contented bears, not bores. But there's a little bit of a problem, guys. Beth told me that Ted snores. And it goes on about him having to go into the spare bed and all the rest of it. And she's going to have to smother him with a towel. But of course she doesn't. And they all they live happily ever afterwards, because she gets some earplugs. But I've written about their antics, music that they like. Having one of their favourite pastimes is big soapy baths till they flood the floors. But people love them. And I am a wonderful thing. I got invited to a care home in Gillingham. They wanted to have some people and someone who do poems or whatever. So the lady who was organised it looked up my writers group and contacted them and said, "Have you got anybody who can come down?" And they said, "Laurie." So I went down there, and wonderful bunch, nearly all in their late 80s, early 90s. There was one bloke who was really quite physically impaired. It took him ages to get into his chair. He was 92, but he was sharp as a tack and came from my manor. Well, he was actually from Bow. I'm from these then, and we had a tremendous banter. He was still there with the humour, and, and a couple of other ladies who were the sort of lead two. They bought a book each of mine, and that which cracked me up as well. Well, I'm getting this one. Don't you get the same one as me? We can share. But there was one lady at the end. I've read a few poems out, and I got some ribald comments from some of these older ladies about the romantic poems as well. I've got any more. I like that one, you know. Reminds me of my husband before he died and rest of it. But, I mean, just wonderful, and I loved it. But anyway, this lady said to me, "Excuse me, sir." She said, "Excuse me." I said, "I'm Laurie." I'm Laurie. She said, "Please forgive me." She said, "But I can't see." So I said, "I'll forgive you for it." She said, "No, I'm going to ask you something." I said, "Yeah, go on, carry on, mate, you know." She said, "Well, you mentioned you got two teddy bears with you." So I said, "Yeah." She said, "Would you mind if I had a hug with one of them?" So I said, "Yeah, of course." I said, they'll love it as well." So I said, "Well, I'll just give you one, you know." And I said, "Well, one condition." So she said, "What's that?" I said, "Well, I don't want any fumbling to see if you've got the boy or the girl." And she just rolled up, like, you know. And I come out of there and I was kind of flying, man. You know, I mean, I just, you know, if you have an ability, and I'll describe it as that, other people have been kind enough to say other things, a talent or whatever, I don't know. But if a little bit of my time could give, I've just, you know, I know it sounds all sugary, but there's enough rubbish goes on in the world, and we should promote a bit more happiness.
Yeah, absolutely.
And and Ted and Beth, but yeah, so that's there. Enough about them for a minute. I don't want them getting big teddy headed.
Big teddy headed, yes. Exactly. So have you got a poem to hand that you can read about them?
About them, yes, I have. Yeah.
You know, now that you've been talking about that, about them, we need to know. I want to know how they got together. Sonia loves teddy bears, and I'm sure she wants to know. Barney the dog loves teddy bears too. No, but you can't.
Well, let me read. I'll read quick. This is the one that was in the Daily Mail about them, and this is in the first book. Okay. And it, I suppose, this sort of introduces them, really. And and it's called Travelling Bears. So this sort of introduces them, really. This is the first one I wrote on them. Ted is a travelling bear, and he has a passport too. He loves to travel all around, so he will come with me or you. Beth, she is Ted's girlfriend, and they are now never far apart, since Ted found her abandoned, and now they're joined by Teddy Hearts. When going about with us on aircraft, they go in the hold bag snug, for if carried to the cabin, they may be searched for drug. Ted says he has heard stories of teddies made to hide, so customs starts for searching to see what they had inside. Beth gets quite upset by this and starts to fret and shake, for the fear of being cut apart is more than she can take. So the bears much prefer a car for their travel if they can, on a ferry or the open road, the world outside they scan. Sitting on the luggage bags in the back seat without cares, they reflect upon their happy life, being lucky travelling bears.
Yeah. Well, it's a good point. The security nowadays in airports, yeah.
Yeah, they had to go in the in the bags. But this is one I touched on. This is them again. They do have a fan club, and they have their own Facebook page, Ted and Beth of Laurie the Poet. And this is this is one that's in my third book, which is called Reviews of Life in Verse. And this poem is called Bears Bath Fun. Ted and Beth are full of fun, happy bears and keen to laugh. And one of their special joys is a massive soapy bath, with water sloshing everywhere and bath fills to the top, both laughing until they hurt and their fur soaked like a mop. Then Beth gives out a cry as her paws caught in the plug, but again screams in great surprise as Ted frees her with a tug. And so the bear's fun continues, with the floor wet as it can be, but their splashing just goes on and on as if they're swimming in the sea. Ted's got his toy boat in the tub, and Beth has her rubber duck, but alas, now their play fun is about to run out of luck. For their big watery puddles are dripping through the floor, but the bears still don't know it until a loud voice at the door says, "Just what do you think you're doing?" An angry dad asks of the bears, saying that all their splashing has made the water leak downstairs. So with a mop each in their paws and a strong demand to salt it out, Ted and Beth are now deflated, but they will continue to still muck about.
Oh, can you just imagine it with all the soap and the bubbles? Oh, it's very nice. We need to get a photo of you with them. So that'll look nice on the website and everything else. Okay. So fantastic. So how are things? You're off to France, you mentioned.
Yeah. They come with us. They sit on the back. And I've fortunate enough, I've took her to retirement more years now than I care to own up to, but I've got some things right. I've had a static mobile home or a static caravan with decking, or mobile home as the French call them. I've had it for 13 years now, and it's in a gorgeous part of southwest France. It's on a massive lake which is about 9 miles long. And we're only 10 miles from two different seaside venues. But the lake is massive. They didn't invent them there, but they actually trialled the first seaplanes there.
Oh, really?
And they still do trips and that round now. And there's a big museum at the end. And I have a dinghy, reasonably sized dinghy with a little outboard motor that I patter up and down the lake.
That sounds a lovely life.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah, I mean, we'd take a picnic and some sandwiches and a beer for the bears. And you could just sort of go to these little beaches that's on the side. But it's very nature reserve area as well. So they have these hides in the thing, and see all the different birds and stuff and all the rest of it. It really is a gorgeous part of France. Wine's cheap, and it's invariably warmer than here. It's not the south of France. It's not guaranteed sun.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great. And I've got some great friends down there, and which normally leads into more than the odd falling down juice, but one has to do it. That's what keeps me young and sprightly.
Exactly. And it probably helps you to write as well, to be honest.
I do. I write a lot down there, actually. Yeah. Because I'm here, I'm kind of a bit manic. I dash here, there and everywhere. And lots of people say, I don't know how you fit it all in. Nor do I. But obviously, I'm doing bits and pieces in that there, but I don't belong to writers' clubs down there, or I don't do this, or I'm not doing my reading gigs that I do here and promoting Help for Heroes, although I still do it a bit on the laptop and all the rest of it. So, yeah, I'm in odd times. I think I was down there about halfway through last year. I go backwards and forwards about 5 times a year,
right.
Get a frequent traveller on the Channel Tunnel. And I think I've been down there about 12 days, and I've written something like about 15 or 16 poems when I'm down there. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good mix. Not rushing around so much. I ride my bike a bit down there, and a few wines and sit there, pen and paper, and off it comes.
See, now that sounds idyllic. So that's quite a good way to raise money for charity.
Absolutely.
Rather than, I don't know, people enjoy climbing mountains and stuff like that, don't
they?
Yeah,
so, yeah.
You know, it's a good mix of the two. So let's tell people how they can get hold of your poetry, how they can buy it, how they can help you to, basically raise more funds for Help the Heroes.
Yeah, well, there's three ways, really. My books, my 5 books, which are, I've got a little mini sale at the moment, but the first 3 are just £5 each. So there's 50p off of those at the moment. And the 4th and 5th one are, because they're bigger, they've got 80-odd poems in there, £7. I can do those for 6 at the moment, till the end of the month. But how they can get them, as I joked earlier on, I'm a takeaway poet. I deliver free locally. As I said, I have my famed motor scooter, so I can zoom around. And if anybody wants to order them or whatever, I actually can deliver them for free. Or also, I post a load out. I've posted about 60 or 70 out over the time. And they go for about £1.30 postage, which is a lot cheaper than Amazon. But importantly, and I'm going to sort of sacrilege here, but I've got a joint publishing deal, and he's brilliant, my publisher, but it's more the other cost. If I sell a £5 book on Amazon, I'll get about 80p out of it, whereas if I sell a £5 book myself, I get a lot more, which means I can I take my costs out. Obviously, I've got to get republished and leaflets and stuff, but I can give a lot more per book to Help for Heroes. So, people can contact me. I've got my mobile phone. I'm happy to give outs on all my stuff. Anyway, it's 07967355236 or email lw1800@hotmail.co.uk, or my website is www.psychypoet.com. So that's Psyche Poet. And any of those ways you can get hold of me. So that's my books. As I said, they're £5 each or 7, or with a bit of a discount at the moment. But also, it started off as as most things do with me, as a bit of a joke and a banter in the pub. But I've now written over 50-odd personal poems for people. And, it started off, someone had come in the pub and said, oh, guess what I did today? And they're describing how they'd made a fool of themselves. And look at me with abject horror. Oh, I suppose you're going to write a blooming poem about that. Yep, I am now. And I said, oh, would you? And I said, well, yeah, you need to put a couple of bob in my tin. And then people have, and I've actually, I mean, the Garden Bar, I'll give them a mention. They've been absolutely fantastic to me down the waterfront. From when my first book came out, they bought quite a few to get me going. They've donated raffle prizes. They've had a book signing down there. And anyway, the staff have changed a bit now. But there's Tricky Vicky, who is one of the bar ladies, right. Alluring Lindsay, Slow Ann George, who still works down there a bit. He wasn't as quick serving me as he could have been. So Slow Ann George, yeah. And the governor's son, Scott. Who could never flipping remember anything or whatever. So he's got a lovely poem called Scott or Not.
Oh, right.
But I write birthdays. I've done a 16-year-old lad's birthday, a 93-year-old chap who was in a nursing home and had all the family round and they read it out. And I do them as a nice length. So it fit on an A4 piece of paper. So go in a nice size frame that's not too imposing.
Right.
And people have got them for life. But I do Mother's Day, Father's Day, baby shower, and I didn't know what the flipping heck it was at first.
Americanism, yeah.
The beers were quite interesting. I thought it was another form of bath, you know. Baby shower, I've done weddings, anniversaries. Husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, mistresses, fancy men. even wrote a Valentine's for a bloke. He couldn't do it. And so I concocted a couple of my poems together.
They can order those on your website then?
They can get an order from me. I mean, as I said, they can get them from Amazon and feel free. And I will... promote myself at the moment. All my five books have all got multi five-star reviews, which I'm knocked out about.
But Laurie, it's good stuff. It's not surprising.
It's grateful for people. One of the nice things that people, which I suppose if you pinned me down with a nubile blonde, I would own up that one of my main aims is... to resonate with people because I write on life. And so many people have been kind enough to say that the poems and different people who you wouldn't necessarily imagine that them with my psychiatric background hat on, hence I'm the psyche poet, my psychiatric background, you shouldn't put people in boxes or labels. But certain people would say, oh, that poem really, really was something for me. And you wouldn't necessarily have thought that. But other ones, different kind of things. But that's kind of how they come. And I'm on Amazon, and apparently my poems. I say I'm a down to earth, everyday life poet, and I write on things. And as I've waffled about the romance bit, I suppose I better read a romance poem out.
I think, yes, to finish off, let's have some romance in there to get people buying the book from you and to raise more money for Help the Heroes, definitely. And then, of course, we'll see you when you get back from France, hopefully, all tanned up. And very relaxed.
Tanked up.
Tanked up, yeah, good point. And tanked up. All that vin rouge.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you drink the local stuff there or do you drink fancy stuff?
I drink anything, me. But no, there's and they've kind of adopted me. It's really, really nice. Sorry, there's no short stories with my dress up. The site's Noel Haven Europe site, and I pay a bit more site fees because they got an entertainment team. So you can imagine I'm in amongst them. And I mean, I love the youngsters, and they seem to like me and that as well. Come around, never. Drink with me, and I've got an indoor and outdoor pools and the bars and that on there, but there's a couple of bars each way just along the cycle path, which is on the route. But the one specifically, and it's amazing, and as I said, I kind of love life because the I've got to go in there, and they've kind of adopted me, Michelle and oh gracious, I forgot her name for a second. Anita Natalie, and they can't speak hardly any English, and I don't speak a lot more sort of French, but we can communicate. And I take some of my friends down there as well. But I go down there, and I invariably have a bowl, and you get a really decent glass of wine for €2. And Michel's trick, and he always does it with me, so I have to meet the challenge. He tops my glass of wine at, right up to the brim, but it doesn't spill a drop. Yeah, right? So I have to kind of lean right over and I drink it because I'm thinking, well, I ain't going to spill a drop either. Like, you know, it's like the Merchant of Venice. No, you spill one drop of blood. I spill one drop of wine, you know. So, yeah, but one fantastic afternoon I went down there and it was amazing. I'd been down there with one of my mates the day before and I thought I left my baseball cap. Any excuse. It was round my mate's house, as it happened, but I've been sitting on it. But anyway, I thought, I've got to go down and get this cap. So I went down there for one wine. It was about 1 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. Well, Saturday afternoon is sports day anyway. I'm, you know, racing and things. I've got a telly down there. Anyway, I went down there and they didn't have me hat. But they gave me one that had been left, so I got one. But so anyway, when I got there, it was like a party going on. And anyway, cut a very long story short, and I'll try as much as I can to cut my story short. They were all friends of Michelle and Natalie. And anyway, I got the one wine and sat there. And Michelle obviously had spoken to them about me. They know that I write. In fact, Michelle's son speaks excellent English and has bought one of my books, and they like him. And they was telling me about me. And apparently, I'm a bit of a card, I don't know. But anyway, each time one of these geezers came out to get a drink, they got me one. So I said, oh, I'll try to get a drink. And no, I'm sure. No. Anyway, next minute, we were all round the bar, all the blokes and a photo behind the bar. And then all the wives and the girls come over. And I got back home about 6 o'clock and I bought the one drink. And one of the ladies spoke some English. And at that time, I had three books out at that time. And she said, you have your books? I said, yeah, I want them. She said, so you come tomorrow? She said, and you bring? And I said, yeah. And so she did. But I mean, just wonderful, wonderful time.
Yeah, it sounds lovely.
So, yeah, so I admit that happens. But anyway, a romantic poem.
A romantic poem. Thank you very much. And here we are, Laurie the Psyche Poet with a romantic poem to end with.
Right. And I painted a picture on that story. And this is a different kind of picture. And this is in my last book, which came out last August, and it's called Life Presented in Verse. And Laurie, being serious now, it's called Picture. When I contemplate a painting, I always think of you. Pretty as any artwork, and so lovely with it too. For no Mona Lisa picture, or Da Vinci at his best, could ever create attraction that could ever pass your test. For brush strokes can't come alive, however clever is the touch. An inner and outer beauty will always need so much to capture all its presentation, only fully blossomed in flesh, that no painting can fully copy or have a scent so very fresh. Thus a living, breathing person is a real beauty to behold. So however warm a painting looks, when you touch it, it feels cold. Thus indulge any masterpiece that you may have for real, as you are truly a collector, with your picture you can feel. So when appraising your treasure of art in human form, don't ever take it for granted, or believe it's just a norm. For you must love and cultivate your own Mona Lisa smile, remembering that you will have it always, and not for just a while. Picture.
Ah. And see, and my wedding anniversary is coming up soon. And had you not read that one out, I could have sent that one to her.
Oh, I've got plenty of others, mate. Don't worry. I've got about 100 romance ones. Yeah. Or we can even make to measure. I'm a poetic tailor as well.
See, poetic tailor and delivered as well.
I have people in stitches.
Exactly. So, okay. So if you need to get your own poetry written, or you'd like to take a look at Laurie's books and obviously buy them online from him, remember the special offer that's going on at the moment. This is, to be fair, in May, so if you're listening back, the offer may not be there right now, but anyway, you can find Laurie's website at www.psychepoet, that's psychy poet.com, or email Laurie directly at lw1800 lw1800@hotmail.co.uk. That's lw1800@hotmail.co.uk. Or even text him or phone him.
Yeah, on the microphone, yeah.
Yeah, on 07967-355-236. That's 07967-355-236. And remember, if you're listening again, you can just replay those bits and pieces so you've got Laurie's details. So, Laurie, great to see you again. Thank you very much.
Ah, thank you. It's been a ball. Yeah,
it's always a pleasure, and it's always great to hear the poetry. And thanks to Ted and Beth. Thanks, guys, for coming in.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you a little teddy wave. There we go. Look, yeah.
That's right. Give Sonia a teddy wave.
Oh, hang on, let me get my glasses off.
I don't know. It gets all technical when photos need to be taken.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So thanks very much again, Laurie, and we'll see you soon.
Right, thank you.